This is Todd Hockenberry with
Dan Tyre.
And welcome to Inbound to Grow, a podcast for leaders who want to grow better and become inbound organizations. Our goal for this podcast is to share the latest ideas, strategies, and real-life stories that will help your business grow. We want to help you create an amazing company culture, develop effective business strategies, and deliver outstanding customer experiences. In other words, to be more inbound. Check out Inbound to Grow, that's inbound, the number 2grow.com, for the show notes and other helpful info, including all of our social media and contact information. And we usually ask one question. I'm going to lead this one in with a little bit of a story, and then I'm going to ask you a question, Dan.
Ooh, a little change up here.
A little change up here today, yes.
I like it.
Today's discussion was prompted by an email that prominent marketing consultant and writer Mark Schaefer sent out recently. And his question, or his title with the email, was "Why Inbound Marketing Costs Increase Over Time." And he says in that email that one of the tenets of the inbound marketing movement is that using content to attract qualified leads is the most cost-efficient marketing system around. And that when inbound started, it worked because content attracted what he describes as easy leads. But over time, those leads became more difficult to generate with the same cost or effort in terms of inbound content creation. So if you are in an unsaturated niche, the friction for sales driven by inbound is relatively low. But as time goes on, easy customers become harder and harder to find. So there's more work required of marketing and sales to generate leads. So here's our question, Dan. Is inbound still a good investment?
Oh, baby. I would say absolutely. And first of all, this is a great example of a great question. We're starting to get really good questions now. You can go to the website inboundorganization.com, right? And people are sending us stuff like left and right. We've kind of picked this one out of the ether. But if you have any questions about the principles or philosophies, how to build and strengthen your organization using inbound principles, you just send it to us. And we're happy to talk to you about it on a podcast, right? Or share individual information. We're still looking for people to upload their M spots. Maybe it's because it's so, it's like important information. But if you want us to critique it, Todd and I have pledged in previous podcasts and all over the website that we're happy to do. Anyway, this has been suggested by one of our listeners, and it really spurred a great discussion. And the podcast listeners know that Todd is smart and insightful, and I'm all about the big energy and a little bit of emotion. So when I first saw this, I'm like, what? Wait a second. Right. And after I realized that it was a very legitimate question, we started thinking through, is inbound still a good investment? And remember, inbound is about helping people, and that does cost money. You're helping them from a variety of different factors, right? You're helping them sometimes with your content. You're helping them sometimes with a try before you buy. Sometimes you're helping them with a freemium content. But it's hard to see this as wasted expense, as opposed to more traditional outreach, like, direct mail or cold calling. I had a conversation with an expert in the SDR world. And she was saying that we were talking about the latest statistics for the efficacy of calling people like out of the blue, saying the same message all the time without a proper inbound process of identify and connect, right? And the statistics say that the average cold call, right, generates an efficacy rate of between 1.62% and 3.1%. Right. So that means that the average like sales director or business owner is wasting approximately 97% of their time, effort, and money. And Todd, can you think of like one other business process that if somebody was wasting 97% of their time, effort, and money, you tell them to keep going?
I don't know, maybe mining for gold. I don't know, maybe something like that. You get a one out of 40 or something like that actually works. Or maybe book publishing. Maybe that's the way they do that too. That's kind of cynical of me. But
the deal is there in gold or gold mining or gold panning and book publishing, you have a shot of having a bestseller or hitting that big nugget, right? When you're using that for kind of traditional outreach, right? It's unlikely you're going to uncover that big hit, right? And so as time goes by, these potential customers do become harder and harder to find. And while it's true that it is a little bit more difficult to get what we usually refer to as the low-hanging fruit, right? Outbound doesn't really improve that scenario. Inbound requires a core component, and that is you need to, it requires an ever-increasing investment in more content and better content, right? And it should result in better ratios, in better understanding of the data and the information. And it should allow you to generate more revenue and gross profit with less of the overhead that you had before, right? In fact, right, after publishing like 11 years of blog articles on HubSpot sales blog and HubSpot marketing blog, what we find is that our evergreen content, the stuff, the quality content, Todd, that we created in 2010, 2011, generates a significant percentage of our lead. So it's not about more mediocre content. It's about better content. And so there's a variety of ways to do it, right? HubSpot has done incredibly well of taking this generic content and then expanding it to different topics and going deeper, right? And the author says here, in reality, content marketing isn't working because of the ever-escalating volume and velocity of content being inflicted on prospects. Right. And that's where I went nuts. Inflicted. Oh, my goodness. Right. You don't inflict content on your prospects. What you do is make great content available in different ways. Right. Number one, if you can provide information in a specific niche, you're going to talk about in a second. Number two, if you build a reputation. Number three, if you develop content that is very high quality. And there is dozens of ways you can approach that content. So it's new and different. And the content itself can't be self-promotional. It has to be about helping your buyer persona, right? Now, Todd, you've been a stalwart in the and a leader in industrial and manufacturing companies for over a decade, right? How do you create like this better content and positioning?
Well, it's what I agree with. It's what you said. It's about better content. And I do agree with part of the general premise of the author's question, that if you are in an undifferentiated or an unsaturated field, then you can get away with average or mediocre content or a lower investment and still get results. But I think he's right. There's not as many of those as there were certainly 5 years ago or 10 years ago, probably not even 2 years ago. So the key, though, is to identify your specific niche, and which is built around your persona and your ideal types of companies that you want to work with, and create content they are going to love. That's not easy, certainly, but it doesn't have to be an ever-increasing investment. If, like you said, if you build a reputation, if you stick with your specific niche, you create great content that's not just product focused or shallow, or it's really self-promotional, then that doesn't have to be an increasing investment. In fact, we've got a client that we've had for over 8 years now doing inbound in the industrial space, and we track the cost of lead generation, cost of sales qualified lead, and cost of customer acquisition. And in every year for 8+ years now, both of those numbers have gone down. So with relatively similar investments, but improved quality over time, really being niche and owning more and more of those niches, it all starts to add together to give you kind of this momentum that can help you kind of propel you forward and keep your investment from going up. But again, you have to be very specific in your niche. You have to build a reputation, build an audience, and give them what they want. I mean, I would even suggest that the author is an example of that himself. He's writing books, he's doing a podcast. And again, he should be, with somebody who's built an audience and has momentum, shouldn't have to be spending an increasing amount of money on it to do it. I think you have to spend more money on it, and it becomes a bad investment if you're not good at it, or you're inflicting content on people like he describes.
Yeah, but what you just said, we see that all the time, right? As you start gathering the data and the facts, it's easier for you to understand what resonates with your buyer persona. Right. And you start seeing the statistics and you start understanding how to deploy the right content to the right person at the right time. Right. When we talk about the buyer persona, right, and the buyer journey, right? And providing the right content to people who are just getting started or who are in the consideration and decision mode, or then how to like button all that stuff up. In year two or year three, you get much smarter about the best way to deliver the right information. And today in 2018, it's so much easier to develop the content once and then deliver it in multiple ways. This podcast is a perfect example,
sure,
right? We're taking lots of ideas from the book, lots of ideas from our blog articles, but lots of people have said, just deliver the content so I could listen to it while I'm on my John Deere mowing my lawn, or if I'm shoveling snow, right? Or if I can deliver it on the way to work. There's like, Todd, just make sure it's less than 15 minutes. But we want to hear from you guys about what's working and what isn't. And the people who gather that data, the people who are looking at the facts, the people who are digging in to really understanding the right way to deliver the right information, I think have a huge competitive advantage. And that was an excellent example of how it's not more expensive, right? It's more expensive going after the great unwashed. Right. But what you're doing now in year two and year three is you're sharpening your pencil. You're focusing your niche. You're understanding what really works. You're hyper targeting using inbound marketing or account based marketing your good fit customers. Right. So another offshoot of this is lots of people used to sell to everybody, right, all the time and treat all customers the same. Do you remember those days, Todd?
I do.
And would you ever do that now?
No, I would not.
Why?
Well, because number one, that's not the way that people want to be treated. They want a much more unique, personalized, and specific experience. And nobody's going to tolerate a canned pitch, presentation, or you know, a death by PowerPoint. They're going to expect you to be a business expert and bring them strategic guidance and help them with the change process, understand their issues. You're not going to bombard them with a million discovery questions. You're going to understand those before you walk in the door, right? It's a different world.
Oh, it's so when you walk into an industrial company, they're like, okay, this guy's an expert in manufacturing, right? It just oozes from your pores, right? And you know exactly what to talk about with the right vocabulary. And so it's not more expensive, it's less expensive, right? The reason why people hire you for management consulting is because you can help reframe their entire leadership and creativity of their management team, right? Focused on the right stuff, right? It works the same way with your content, right? In year two and year three, all the way through years six, seven, eight, and nine. Now, all of a sudden, you know exactly how to push somebody's buttons. You know how to leverage that segment of one. You know exactly the right information to deliver at the right time, right? And that ostensibly allows you to go after the right fit customers, which that entire package, right? And the underlying philosophy of inbound of being helpful to a niche rather than the broad-based kind of industry out there makes a huge difference.
Right. And we see it with our industrial clients. And it was interesting. You talked about, like the author talked about, low-hanging fruit or easy leads. I don't know about most other people, but where I work, most leads, even if they're a good qualified lead, it's not an easy sale. You might have got a lead easier than you did before because you put out some content, optimized it, and started to see more traffic on your website. But the sale part is way separate from that. And there's a lot more that goes into it. So that part hasn't changed. That part's actually gotten more difficult. I do think there can be some low-hanging fruit on lead gen, and it's still there in terms of really kind of optimizing sites and getting traffic out there, like you said, about kind of evergreen content. But then the other side of that is that there's some statistic, I think Google says something like 17% to 20% of searches are every day are unique, like have never been done before, right? So that's telling you that people are changing the way they search, that changing the content they're looking for, voice, your phone, asking a question versus typing a question changes the types of searches. So that's going to create opportunities for people to create new content, better content that matches the way people want to search and buy.
I like that. I think our author raises a good question, but I think we have lots of proof, right? That the experience, the understanding, the data, the analysis, the expertise, the thought really proves the thesis that over time, inbound is not only better for your overall mission and vision, it's not only better for educating folks, it's not only better for being helpful, but it's also less expensive, right? And of course, as companies grow, they might actually increase budget to get more specific customer, But overall, you should see your cost of customer acquisition decline using inbound.
Exactly. And another quote that came from the article was that somebody told him, the author, that their posts and emails weren't generating the what we need. So they ramped up the volume and the cost of marketing in an attempt to achieve the goals, right? Again, I think that's a misapplication of your resources. If what you're doing wasn't working, why would you do more of it? Why would spending more money doing the same thing generate more results? That to me just screams for a different strategy, a different approach. Again, more targeting, more focused. It doesn't necessarily mean you have to spend more money. You have to spend money better, right? So, you know, just doing the same things over and over again, clearly we know that's not the way to decrease your costs, but it's a way to increase them. So yes, it's going to cost more if you keep doing the same things and same mediocre average content and don't change with your buyers. But inbound's about being smart and adjusting and creating that targeted, focused, interesting content, which does not have to cost more. It costs more in terms of being intelligent and smart and making the effort. But if you have content in your space and they're upping their content game and they're out there promoting their content, then yes, you may have to spend more than you do today to catch up to that scenario where there's competitors that have come in and moved ahead of you. But that's really catching up. Once you catch up and you're spending at that level, right, it becomes about who's better at it. So I guess my biggest issue with the email that he put out was that if the assumption is that inbound is really this static thing where you just do blog, you know, the kind of basic methodology of inbound, then maybe you're right. It's going to cost more. But our book was all about the fact that it isn't anymore. I mean, inbound isn't just about a narrow set of tactics, but it's about a mindset change that is reflected in all of your content, your website, but also in all of your marketing. Even if you are doing proactive outreach through social media or LinkedIn, or even if you are calling somebody on the phone, right, there's a way to do it in an inbound way that it's going to be more effective, and it's going to be a better experience, not only for the people on your team, but it's going to be better for the prospect. So to me, I think that's the big disconnect, that, you know, inbound is moving well away from the original methodology and the original basic ideas, and it's become this thing that really needs to impact the entire company, because it is something that impacts the whole company. Because if buyers are changing and buyers want you to be inbound, then everybody in your business better be inbound. So, all right, Dan, what's your rant for this week?
Inbound industries evolve, you have to up your game. And Todd and I give you a variety of examples of how to do that.
Up your game. I like it, right?
No, it's up your game, not up your game. It's up your game.
Up your game.
Right? You're good at that, though. You've been doing that for 10 years, yeah. Right? You've been focused on the niches. You've been providing great value. You've been looking at that. And your goal is to minimize the investment for your clients, right? So that they get a better return.
Well, that's exactly right. I think that's a mindset of the agency, right? And I want to be careful, I pick my words, because there's lots of great inbound and HubSpot partner agencies out there, lots of great ones. But if an agency just looks at it as a formula where they follow a certain methodology where they say, okay, we're going to do 2 blog posts a week, we're going to do this many social posts, we're going to do this many emails, and they just try to hit the cadence as opposed to hitting the actual engagement, interesting, special content that the buyers are looking for, then you might be in that situation where you'd have to keep spending more and more and more money on that. So I would say that to people that are doing inbound, right? You've got to look at your what's guiding the effort. Right? Is it about connections and engaging, or is it just about checking off a box, right? So we've seen that happen. And again, that's going to get more expensive. But anyway, my truth for today is inbound is a mindset. It's not just tactics or methodology. And I'm going to drop in a quote here from the book. That is, an inbound organization figures out who their ideal customer is, and then relentlessly establishes resources to attract them first, educate them second, start the relationship third, and add value at every step in the process. And then they ensure their success so they can initiate a series of loops, helping the buyer solve more and more problems, adding more and more value all the time. So our 3 takeaways from today are, is your content strategically focused on the changing needs of your buyers, or is it focused on your product? That's going to be the subject of a future podcast. Second, review your results with inbound. Challenge your team to prove the ROI of the effort. Make sure they can connect the dots between what they're doing and what you're seeing in terms of results, right? Prove to yourself that the inbound costs aren't going up, or if they are, dig in and figure out why. And then lastly, do your inbound organization assessment. If you see inbound costs rising and you're not sure about the ROI of inbound, you need to look at your entire organization and put it in that context. And you can check out inboundorganization.com and get a copy of that assessment. So that's our call to action for today. And if you like Inbound to Grow, please go to iTunes and rate it and review the podcast. We really appreciate your support. Our next episode is titled Potholes to Becoming an Inbound Organization. And I'm Todd Hockenberry of Top Line Results.
Dan Tyre at HubSpot.
And we want to thank you for listening. And remember, to do inbound, you must be inbound.